Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
Somebody that's really been speaking prophetically, just kind of in his own, he's kind of been connecting prophetically. And prophetically just simply means you're kind of hearing from the Holy Spirit and then you speak the words of the Lord. Just to prophesy means to speak the word of the Lord. Is been Todd. And Todd's been kind of tuned in to some other prophetic guys as they're talking. And even as Todd has been sharing some things with me, Todd, I saw you and Joe around each other as you guys, as Joe, you were reading that song and then prayed it. I don't know what that means. I don't know if there's a little Holy Spirit partnership. Maybe it's just to encourage one another. But I would encourage that, to encourage each other and then just see what the Holy Spirit does. And who knows what can come out of that. Maybe we get around each other and have some great ideas and Jesus blesses it. I don't know. I'm just sharing what I saw and what God's telling me. So, all right. This morning, I want to first say that the Kansas City Chiefs will win the Super Bowl. That's not prophetic. I did not hear that at all. But my wife's from Kansas City, so we like Kansas City barbecue and the Chiefs. But I want to preach a message to you this morning titled, No Retreat, No Surrender. And it's not the 1980s Jean-Claude Van Damme kickboxing movie, although we could get a lot of great stuff out of that. We really want to focus in on having some steel in our spine, some iron in our spirit, being able to stand whenever we're given the option to quit. And whenever we want to look elsewhere, what is the mindset of someone that wants to stay in the game, especially whenever it's hard? If you will, grab your Bibles and flip with me to Hebrews chapter 10. If you're using the Pew Bible here, it's page 850. Hebrews chapter 10 or page 850. This morning, I want to address the mindset of winners. What is a winning mindset? And then what is a quitting mindset? I truly believe that there are mindsets that set us up, the way I think, it's my operating system, it's my worldview, that lends me toward bowing out when things get hard or sticking to it and doubling down whenever things get tough, is I'm just got this overcoming mindset. And I believe that we read this throughout history, because if you're going to make history, you probably were an extreme winner or an extreme quitter. There's really, you know, history doesn't just tend to tell the stories of those just kind of just go along, but it's usually the extremes. And I want to encourage us to not make bad decisions in the extremes of giving up, especially if God is in it. If God has called us to it and He is in it. He's in a thing that we want to endure and to engage. And so here we see in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 32, it talks about these Christians that were being persecuted, that they had hardships coming against them. And maybe it's easier just to kind of go along with the script of the day whenever God's got a different script from heaven saying, we got to stick to it. 10:32 starts like this. Remember those early days after you had received the light, when you endured a great conflict full of suffering. Anybody ever been there? Maybe job, maybe personal life, maybe marriage, maybe in your faith, maybe you see it in our country, maybe you see it in your family, where it's full of conflict and suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were treated so. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation. How do you say that? Confiscation? No? The taking away of your property. Gee whiz. Because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possession. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to, those three words, man, if you ever see that in the scriptures, you need to. I would be clued in. I'd be locked in. The Bible is about to say something that's going to drop some wisdom, and it says this is what you should do in life. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. For in just a little while, He who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteousness, one who will live by faith, I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. I just gotta wonder, as God is sitting on His throne in heaven, and as He is gauging and gazing upon His people, does He take delight and pleasure in those who retreat and who shrink back? Or does His heart get juiced up about those who engage even when it's hard, even when your feelings don't say, oh, this just feels good? No, this is tough. And this is breaking my feelings, but I know that I've got to override my feelings with conviction. I've got to elevate my standard and say, I got to stick to this thing, no matter what it is that God has called me to. He says, we do not belong to those who shrink back. Isn't that good? That's not us. We don't do that. I'm not cut from that cloth. If I said I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. If I'm all in, I'm all in. If I made a vow, I've made a vow, even to my own hurt. An honest man keeps his oath even when it hurts. A man's word is his bond. Like, we're all in on this thing. And he says, I don't belong to those that shrink back and those that are destroyed, but those who have faith and those who are saved. So let's talk about this mindset that I truly believe is a winner's mindset, and Jesus is the ultimate winner, right? He's the ultimate overcomer. And then maybe compare it to the mindset of those that possibly would want to quit. And I just believe that we can see those comparisons. This is not only just quitting on our faith, or, you know, you quit and now you're not making it to heaven. I'm not talking about that. There's also, we can't be talking about that, but we're also drilling down on all of the little things of life. Perhaps it's in your job and you said, yes, I'll do that project. And you're just like, it's just too hard. Sorry, not going to do it. Maybe it's your marriage. Sorry, I'm out. Maybe it's whatever with your kids or something in the community. Maybe you said, I will do something that you made an obligation to. And you said, nope, I'm going to go a different way. Perhaps it's making a stand for your faith at your job, maybe in your nation, whenever Christianity could get smaller and smaller and shrink and shrink. I want to encourage us now that we need to stiffen our spines early rather than late. That we need to strengthen ourselves now rather than, now I find myself in a conflict. Where do I stand and where do I believe? That we would be rock solid foundationally and that we would stand upon the fundamental truths and values of the heart of God. So that when the winds and the waves come, I'm not confused and I'm not conflicted. I already know where I stand. I've been standing here for years. Rather than, man, I'm still trying to figure this thing out. I'm not really sure. No, we would know beyond a shadow of a doubt. And I'm unmoved and I'm unthwarted by it. There's a deep resolve of commitment down deep inside of my heart. You know what's kind of cool whenever it comes to commitment? Musselman's this morning. If anybody was late to church, you have no excuse because you traveled like 6 blocks. Musselman's came from Bloomington this morning so that they could be here for church. There's like another level of commitment right there. And maybe you thought, man, I'm traveling all the way from Summitville. That's like 7 or 8 miles, you know? Like that's like a ways, and maybe there's like some weather out there. They traveled like 2.5, 3 hours because, and they were away visiting family over the weekend. They said, but we're going to be back for church. We're like, it's okay. Spend time with family. No, we want to be committed to church and to leading worship. There's just something that's different about the spirit of somebody that says, I'm all in. I'm committed to a thing. Y'all tracking with me? All right. Y'all are here, so I'm preaching to the choir, but there's also sometimes where maybe we want to make excuses when they're really, we don't need to make excuses, we just need to make it happen. King Leonidas he's not close to Jesus, but a little bit, in the fact that he's a warrior, this guy. If you've ever seen the movie 300, I love this movie 300, I'm not recommending it, I'm just saying that I like it, there's no recommendation coming with it, other than he has this line in there, and he says, there's no retreat and there's no surrender. 300 is this movie about the Spartans and the battle that they would go into. And King Leonidas said about the Spartans that they fought till death against Xerxes. And Xerxes was the king of this massive Persian army. And they were facing these insurmountable odds. And yet with conviction and their values and their high standards, they said, we will fight till the death. Check this out. No retreat. No surrender. That is Spartan law. And by Spartan law, we will stand and fight and die. A new age has begun, an age of freedom, and all will know that 300 Spartans gave their last breath to defend it. Hashtag chills right there. There is something about a man or a woman that says, I have drawn a line in the sand and there's no going back. There's no retreat. There's no surrender. I've engaged into a battle that I'm not fleeing from. I'm going after it. What is it? Is it going after the hearts of your kids? Is that what it is? Is it going after the hearts of grandkids? Is it pursuing your husband even whenever he's uninterested and his heart is cold? Is it pursuing the heart of God whenever you don't even hear God's voice back? Is it seeing reformation in a community when all you are doing is just feeling the opposition against it? You signed up to do what? To lead a committee, to lead a team, to do whatever. And you're going to put a line in the sand and I will give my all, my sweat and my everything to bring the best that I possibly can. I really want to see Christians be the best at whatever they put their hand to. Whenever that we are in the job world, when we're in the professional world, it's like, man, this guy's sharp. Man, she is good. He is on it. Man, when they say they're going to do it, and they do it with excellence. That thing is polished off with excellence. They just do it at another level. Why? Because we've got a vision of Jesus who does things with excellence. He just does. He doesn't half-heartedly put something sloppy together. Jesus executes with excellence. I just want to see us do the exact same thing. This past week, I was in Evansville with one of our administrators at a nursing home down there. This is a man who has endured and endured and endured. And he's going through a hardship in his own marriage, going through a divorce. They've got a young daughter. It's one of the largest facilities that we have in all of TLC. And he is handling unbelievable, what seemingly seems like insurmountable odds and fighting COVID and having all different kinds of issues that's going on and the financials that are crunching down on you, right? And as I'm sitting there with him, I'm thinking, man, stronger men have crumbled under less than what this guy continues to stand and handle. Isn't it just admirable to watch somebody walk through it and you're just like, and yet they still stand. Like you have faced the hardest things of life and you continue to endure. There's just something about when the Holy Spirit comes up on the inside of somebody and they're able to strengthen and help persevere through it all. We don't retreat. We don't surrender. And I wrote a letter to him, and one little piece in this letter, I said, there are a few words that come to mind whenever I think of you. One of them is resilient. I have heard it said that our scars simply serve as reminders that we have survived our deepest wounds. You are a survivor, a fighter. You have been dinged, but not destroyed. In the face of the critics, you have stayed encouraged. Duck feathers are coated with a special oil. This helps water, wind, and weather to slide right off them. This special coating helps ducks be resilient no matter what the elements they are in. I believe you are coated with the same thing. And I believe the same thing from heaven, that we can have this Holy Spirit oil from the ducks, if you will, coat our spirits to where the critic doesn't count. It's like that quote from President Roosevelt. It's not the critic who counts. It's the warrior who's in the arena, who's bloodied and marred, and who's fighting till his last to make sure that he is faithful to the call that God has put on him. Win or lose, disconnected from the results, I'm just all in on obedience. I know what I'm called to. Y'all realize that the 300, those men, they lost. And yet, inspired because they went after it. Eventually there was redemption and they came back in full force. But in these moments, you might have losses along the way. Be disconnected if you can from the results. Be fully all in to the obedience and the grit and the fight that God has called you to. He'll take care of the end result. Vengeance is mine, declares the Lord. The result is his. Some may water, some may plant, but it's the Lord who gives the increase. I want to encourage you, just know your role, and your role is to engage and to endure and to stay in the game. He's the one that will settle the score at the end. Stay engaged with it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, it says this. We've got this scripture up here. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. We've been struck down, but we're not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal bodies. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Woo! Come on, baby. I'll tell you, you carry the same call that Jesus did, like in John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus says this, the enemy has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I have come that you would have life and you would experience life to the full. You'd be fully alive in me. And the same mentality I have whenever I come in, it's like, hey, if Jesus came to bring life, I want to show up and I want to bring life. Wherever I go, I want to bring life through encouragement. I want to bring life to this person. I want to bring life to their mindset. I want to bring life to the way they think, to the way they talk. I'm coming in on mission to bring life. In the same way, you might be carrying around death on the inside, but I know who I am and I'm called to bring life. Even in the midst of my own trials, even in the midst of my own suffering, I'm going to override all of that and I'm going to tap into something much higher. Rather than tapping into all of the negativity swirling, I've got to tap into something so much bigger, namely the person who's seated on the throne in heaven, and I'm seated with him in heavenly places. And whenever I gain a 30,000 foot view, I'm like, oh my gosh, I can see how this thing is playing out because now I have the lens of the Lord. I've got the mind of God. I just see it differently. And I want to encourage you to just to have, like, if I could come in and be, you know, some sort of an eye doctor, what's that called? Optometrist. I see, come on. An optometrist. And just say, come on, let's see it differently. Let's put on a new lens. Let's gain a perspective. And let's see what we're called to do and never back down from this call. Seeing things differently, I believe, takes some crazy meta to be able to block out the background noise and lock in on the loudest voice that should be in the room, which should be the voice of Jesus. Anybody remember that Kenny Rogers song? It's called I Am the Greatest. It's a baseball song, and he talks about this little kid who's throwing the ball up. Anybody else? Just me? Okay. All right. Yeah, thank you, Chris. Me and Chris. Chris, here we go. Me and you, brother. So he's throwing the ball up to himself, and he's swinging, and he says, I'm the greatest that's ever played. And he swings with all of his might, and the ball goes up, and the ball falls down. He swings his bat all the way around. The world's as still could be. The baseball falls, and that's strike three. He throws it up to himself, swings three times, and he strikes out. He can't hit the ball. And then it's supper time, and his mama calls, and so he goes home, and she asks him, how did it go? And he goes, I'm the greatest. That is a fact. But even I didn't know I could pitch like that. That's a perspective. That's a little kid who gets it, right? In the midst of the hardest situation, he's like, I win. I'm an overcomer. What a pitcher. I struck him out. He didn't even touch the ball. The mindset to be able to see whenever everybody else, you realize we live in America, you already won the lottery, right? You won. You're an American. And you already live in the top 10% of the whole world. If you got two cars, you live in the top like 3% in the whole world. It's unbelievable how we can have a life that's been given to us. That's awesome and it's amazing. And I want you to gain perspective that we need to stop whining about it and have a winning mindset and say, man, I need to give back. I need to engage into the people that are around me. I need to stop complaining about my family and my marriage and all these things, and I need to love them where they're at. I need to not be a quitter, but a winner, and to keep engaging and getting after those things, right? Come on, we haven't struck out. We're the best pitcher on the field. It's a mindset, and I want to encourage the mindset of a winner to be able to grasp these things. The Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, he said, but none of these things move me. nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy. Here's the Apostle Paul, who's been shipwrecked, he's been abandoned. He said, I've been abased and I've been abound. I've been homeless and I've stayed in the palace. I have been in prison and yet I've been with kings. I have starved and I've eaten steak with the biggest kings of the land. I know the extremes. I've been through it all, and none of this stuff moves me. I'm unmoved. I'm unrattled. I'm unshaken because I know who I am. There's a much louder voice that's speaking identity into me. I know what my values are. I know what my standards are, and they're non-negotiable. And so I've got to walk out and march out the call of God that he's put upon my life. How many of you might be like me, and you won't change your ways until you're forced to, or until you're desperate enough to where you're forced into a situation where you have to change? Anybody? Maybe it's your diet, and you get that doctor's report, and you're like, oh, shoot, right? It's like, hey, you're pre-diabetic. Hey, we found some cancer. Hey, we found this, and now before, you were just like, hey, it's great, you know, I want to eat everything fried, you know, coated with sugar, white flour, and grease. Those are my three favorite food groups, and then you're like, but now you're forced to because it's survival time, because we're just kind of playing, we're just kind of having fun, we're just kind of doing whatever, and then all of a sudden, life gets serious when death's at the door. Maybe marriage has come to such a point, and you're like, oh my gosh, I need to change my ways because she is one step out of here. She's got one step out the door, and now all of a sudden you're forced to change. I thought we were just kind of playing around, you know, I'm just kind of, you know, whatever, and now all of a sudden you're forced into making change. Sometimes that's the reality. Sometimes we just won't do something until we're put in a position where you should do it. And even though there's times whenever you know that you should do it, we still don't. How many of y'all, you know you should eat healthy. You should work out. I know I should stop smoking. I know I should save, and I know I should invest. I know I should stop this. I know I should do that. But just because you should doesn't mean that you will. Anthony Robbins, he has this teaching where he talks about the difference between when your shoulds become musts. And when the must shifts, all of a sudden now, there's no going back. There's no retreat and there's no surrender. I must eat right and I must exercise. And if I don't, then life is going to go very poorly for me. I must fill in the blank. What is the must, and where is it that you're at this should and you shift to a must? I have a friend, Jeff Seagrave. Dan, you probably know this guy, right? Jeff Seagrave talks about the shoulds that can kill you in life. And he says, hey, don't just keep saying should. Don't should on yourself, is what he says. That's kind of funny. You can picture Jeff saying that. Just don't should on yourself. Don't tell me to go should myself either. We shouldn't should all over in life. We must do in life, because the shoulds might be the good intentions, but death is paved with good intentions. And we have these great ideas and we just don't ever do them because we got to execute at a different level. And lastly, I'll just encourage you with this, that the standards on which we live would increase. How many of y'all, you maybe had some visions? Man, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to make New Year's resolutions, I'm going to eat healthy, I'm going to make some commitments, and then January 2nd comes. And you're like, well, I know I should, and I know I said I would, but I'm not going to. I'm going to retreat, and I'm going to surrender. Why? Because it's hard. Because there's a bag of chips right there. Because there's candy. Because there's ice cream. I mean, the ice cream's going to go bad. I better be a good steward of my money, you know. The ice cream's either going to go in you or it's going to go in the trash. It's going to go one way. The ice cream's leaving the house, right? Probably better in the trash can. But we will begin to negotiate standards. And I want to encourage you that your actions only flow from your standards. And standards are built upon your values. And the values have to come from biblical worldview that we see Jesus. There's just values that I hold. And I'm not just talking about health or your money or your time. I'm just talking about, man, what is it that I value the most? And so now there's a standard on when I need to wake up. There's a standard on how I need to take care of my body. There's a standard on how I need to steward my mindset. I need to sculpt out and craft a mindset here. Why? Because I just have a higher standard. I just don't think like that. I need to read. I need to invest in myself. Why? Because I value myself. And so now there's a standard on which I'm going to execute. My behavior has to follow that. Maybe for some of you, you've seen a vision, and maybe it came from dad, and it came from grandpa, it came from mom, where it just got a little bit tough, so I quit. And so that's just the standard. Those were the values of our house, and it wasn't good, and we didn't like it, and we were uncomfortable, so we quit. That's just the standard of operation. And so we just give up. I want to encourage us that we would begin to put some values that is the heart of God, and that we would live at a much higher standard. You know, the level of standard in your home on how you speak to each other should probably elevate. I don't know the language in your home, but I'm sure it could always get better. The way that we speak life to one another. Was the standard in the way that you were growing up, was we just kind of did some name calling, it was a little bit rough, it had some energy behind it, it wasn't washed in the patience of Jesus or long suffering or joy or love, like all the fruit of the Spirit. It was more washed in frustration, irritability, I'm just kind of a little bit ticked off. Like if it's coated in that and it lands hard, after a while, the heart is just so banged and beaten and dinged and damaged. Perhaps we need to elevate the standard on how we speak to one another. Maybe. What are those standards we say, man, I've got to shift this thing, and there's no retreat, there's no surrender, I'm all in on deploying the character of Christ in my home. I'm all in, there's no retreat, there's no surrender on how I'm going to love that woman's heart. How I'm going to serve and love that man's heart. I'm going to lay my life down for these babies. I don't know, whatever it is. But I probably need to step my game up another level. Low standards might be the place to address in your life. I believe that we have our actions 100% of the time are based upon how we think about ourselves. Many times. I know this about myself. I know that I'm a man with a backup plan. I know that I've got options. And if I know that I'm a man with options, I'll entertain those and I'll usually become that man. Or I know that I'm a man that's no retreat, no surrender. I know that I said that I'm all in on this thing and I took a vow and I'm all in. You know who you are, and usually your actions follow what you think about yourself. You know that if you're a quitter, you know it. And if you don't believe me, let's look at another scripture here. In Proverbs, it says, as a man thinks, so he is. As you think about yourself and as you think about your life, I think that I am full of adventure and thrill and romance. So therefore, I'm going to be full of thrill, adventure, and romance. Or I feel like, man, I don't have any ideas. But I do think about Google. So now I'm going to, right? The way that we think, hey, Google, what's a good Valentine's idea? Guys, you got 7 days. Google, right? The way that you think many times leads into your actions. And I just want to encourage us, man, let's get a mindset. Jesus, wash over my mindset. Let me think that I'm all in. Let me know that I'm all in. Let me believe that I'm this man of character. I'm this woman of integrity. That I do these things that God has called me to do. And there's no wiggle room. There's no retreat on this thing. I'm fully committed and I'm all in. Maybe you've seen this picture before, and it's this picture of an elephant. And an elephant, like a baby elephant, they would say, they would wrap this little rope around a baby elephant's leg, and it was, and they would put a stake in the ground. And the baby elephant would know that if this rope was around my leg, it trained them. It groomed them to know that I can't get away from this stake because of this rope that's around my leg. And then after a while, the story goes that a man is walking past, some guy, like, you know, a zookeeper or somebody in the circus, and he's like, why is this massive elephant, 1,000 pounds? You tie this little rope around him, And he won't take off and he won't run away. And you say, well, because whenever he was a baby, we taught him, when this rope goes around your foot, you can't move. Now we don't even have to put the stake in the ground. We just tie the rope around and he is conditioned. His mindset is, I'm not more powerful than this rope. I'm not more powerful than the stake in the ground, even though there is no stake in the ground. Elephants were called to be wild and free and to dominate and to reign and rule. I mean, they're massive. And yet, a little rope. And what is it maybe that gripped a hold of your mindset? Where there was this little rope that came around, maybe it was as a young boy, as a little girl, I don't know what it was, but it began to condition you and just said, you can quit. You can roll out. There's no standard of commitment. You don't need that. And so there's nothing that's holding us back, because let me just tell you something. The enemy is a liar, and he's an idiot, and he's a loser, and he's the accuser of the brothers and sisters. And he wants to come in and whisper and say, you can't do it. It's not worth it. The grass is greener elsewhere. Let me entertain your heart. And I'll tell you, if you've got this broken mindset, he'll come in and throw a party. And he'll take a hold. He's like, let's go do something else. This whole Jesus thing isn't worth it. We don't need to be resolved. We don't need resiliency. We don't need to bathe in that duck oil, right? We need to be weak. We need to be soft. We need to kind of go the way of the world systems. We need to just quit and give up. Because the devil is a liar. And we want to break those cords off of our mindset. When you were called to run, baby, run. You were called to reign and rule and dominate, and yet we just live at lower standards. He's called us for more. And we can't succumb to these smaller little things in our life. As we wrap this morning, I just want to ask you, what are some of those values that maybe you've been conditioned with? And maybe just kind of look back. I just need to look back 50 years, 60 years, that I have a good model. What was the messages that were put inside? Maybe how I think about myself. Am I a man of mixture? Am I a double-minded man? Do I have a backup plan? Am I looking for options? I don't know what your situation is. I don't know. But the Holy Spirit knows, and maybe he's just kind of putting his finger on a few things. One of the things that's helpful for me is just clarity. And I think it's helpful for you is you need to name your fight. You need to name your battle. It's the battle of the bulge, right? It's the battle of Gettysburg. It's the battle of Little Bighorn. What is the battle that you're in? And to name that fight. Maybe I'm declaring the fight against whatever it is. Maybe it's alcohol abuse or drug abuse. I'm naming my fight. And it's divorce and family breakdown. I'm naming my fight. And maybe there's other addictions inside of your heart. I'm naming my fight on pornography. I'm naming my battle on, what is it? And then to say, I'm ready to fight, and I'm not surrendering to this thing. I'm not retreating from it. I'm all in. I'm engaging. I'm going to unload all of the arsenal of heaven that I possibly can to defeat this enemy, because the enemy's a liar. He's coming for our throats, and we just can't pretend that we're not in a battle, because we are. I've got to name that battle. And then number two, I would just encourage you with this. Find a couple trusted people. Just find two trusted people that I can lean into and just have some friends and some encouragement that can just speak some life and say, hey, I know that you're here, or I just confess, I'm here and I need somebody. I need somebody to encourage me, to fire me up, to shoot me that text in the morning, to shoot me some scripture, whatever it is, where we've got a couple people that can do that. I can do it for a couple. I can't do it for everybody. But I can do it for a couple. Maybe you've got somebody sitting next to you, they can do it. Maybe you're in men's group and they can do it. Maybe you're in the women's group, they can do it. But find a couple trusted people that say, I don't want to quit. Don't let me quit. Don't do it. And you get into like this fraternity, this swirl, this sorority of energy that just is a fiery encouragement. How many of y'all know whenever you got an accountability partner, it's like, hey, we're going to be at the gym at 8 o'clock, right? You know you got to be there, right? Because I can't disappoint this other person. Sometimes that sort of relationship, hey, you're going to be in the Bible this week. Hey, you're going to be, Dale, challenge the whole men's group. Let's read through the Bible this entire year. Let's read through the Bible. Okay, now we've got accountability. We're checking off the scriptures and we're going through. Have some people around. Say, don't let me quit. I got to finish. I got to stay faithful. And I believe that that's the heart of God for us. As we close this morning, I just want to pray that we would have those ropes. Identify some of those ropes. Man, I'm called to be this massive, strong beast. And yet this tiny little thread is holding me back. And I can't snap it. I can't break through it. That's what we want to pray for this morning. And then also that we just follow up with some great relationship accountability. Would you all stand with me this morning as we close? Come on, Spartans. We're made to fight. Come on, no retreat, no surrender. We're fighting for this thing. If it's got God on it, we need to be all in. If he's called us to it, we gotta be all in. Jesus, I pray right now over our family. I pray over Fairmount Friends family that this would be a house that does not know how to retreat. We do not know how to surrender. We're not of that tribe. We're not cut from that cloth. We are all in on what you've called us to. Jesus, we pray right now by the power of the Holy Spirit that you would snap the bonds, that you would break the ropes off of our minds, that you would set us free in our thinking. As a man thinks, so he is. And Lord, I pray that we would think with the mind of God, that we would operate with the mind of Christ. Jesus, I pray that you would put something on us, that we would fight, that we would engage, that we would have no retreat and no surrender whenever the enemy is at the gates. Jesus, we pray that this would be a house that engages, that we've got a fight on our spirit, that we've got steel in our spine, we've got iron in our stomachs, Jesus. There's something different about Fairmount Friends. Jesus, we just pray a blessing upon this house, that we would endure, that we would stand. And when we've done all that we can to stand, we would stand therefore in this fight and in this battle. Jesus, I pray over our mindsets that we would think like warriors, we would think like winners, and that you would break the quitting mindset off of us, and that we would give everything that we have to you, unmoved, unthwarted, unshifted, and unshakable, and that we would stand, and that we would win. And I just declare, church, victory over your lives, victory over your homes, victory over your families, victory over your marriage, victory over your money, victory over your community, that we would reign and rule the way God has called us to live. By the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.